This is, as you will hear, not for the faint of heart. This one is this one's where the rubber meets the road, kids. You got a lot of responsibility, a lot of money goes through your hands, and you know, you will be tested. And the enemy will come after you, because if you look good in the name of the Lord, that's not good for the enemy. Chapter 49, three checkpoints, 2024. Three checkpoints. Before I begin discussing three checkpoints of 49, it's important to note that this lesson pertains to believers only. Pertains to believers only. I have walked these three checkpoints. I'm aware of them, and I've seen others do the same. God's path is not for the lazy. Picture a desert path. A desert path. And there are three checkpoints for water. And there's a lot of path between each checkpoint, right? A lot of real estate. Here's the deal. There is water and supplies at each checkpoint, but there is also real danger lurking for a traveler on God's journey. This is the story of this path and those dangers. Like I said, non-believers need not apply. This path is not available or necessary to them. The world is in trouble. Non-believers who understand the danger drawing nearer minute by minute are afraid. Non-believers are afraid, nervous. They feel the impending doom. It wasn't like that in the 80s, was it? When everything was golden, groovy, 2005, 2006, everything's groovy, we're okay. But not now. It ain't that way now. Everybody's afraid. Well, yes, true believers stay the course. True believers stay the course. Their fears of the world they give to Jesus. Now we get to the heart of the matter. Company owners. Believers who have corporations, a great deal more responsibility than people with a normal day-to-day job. Yeah, really, you got more responsibility. You know it, I know it. There's money, independence, and a responsibility to be an example of Christ to many, not few. Many, not few. If a non-believer fails, the world says, too bad, so sad, Bob didn't have a chance, but he gave it his best shot. Most importantly, the devil doesn't care about these people. They're already lost. You are a different story. A believer is an example of God's grace, mercy, and strength. In success, the world is disgusted with a believer. A believer in Christ, there is persecution. A true believer abides by the rules of the Lord. And although a sinner, the heart of such a person tries, as you all do, diligently every day, asking forgiveness and strength, clarity and purpose, giving the Lord all the glory. A believer who is not strong in the faith or misrepresents the Lord and his purpose doesn't look much different than a non-believer. Yeah. Yeah, a guy who goes to church and does everything he thinks like, you know, what was it in the assignment? Check the box. I got that. I did that. That guy doesn't look any different than the non-believer. But a believer, that's what we're talking about here. We focus on chapter 49. I'm not talking about anything other than true believers here who have been given corporations. With that miracle, the miracle of God and the blessings of God, there comes a challenge. And it's here today in chapter 49. And it's a big deal. I call it the three checkpoints. Chapter 49 is the path of winners and losers. What? But we're all believers, I'm telling you right now. Winners and losers. Believers who made it on the struggle and believers who just couldn't do it. This is serious, right? Oh, that sounds it. Well, what happened to the glad tidings of the Lord? I proceed, dudes and dudettes. Like I said, on these checkpoints, we stop for the proverbial glass of water and supplies out here in the desert. Stop at the checkpoint for a little water, a little supplies, right? The oasis out there. But there in that place lies an enemy who is in the shadows. Therein lies an enemy who is in the shadows offering goods and services that are very dangerous. Long story short, non-believers need not apply to chapter 49. You're never going to see this checkpoint. Believers, strap on your seatbelt. It's a wild ride and it's meant to be just that. It is a test. I've often said, don't spend your second chance on stupid. Common sense is not so common, and stupid is very expensive. Rather be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny. What? What's fate? Fate is my will be done. What is destiny? His will be done. Dig that, kids. We start the story of three checkpoints, win or lose. They are what they are. Checkpoint number one. It's easy. I need help. I'll do anything to get out of trouble. The traveler says, God, help me. And he does. He does at checkpoint one. You're in the desert of life as a believer, and you're owning all this company. You say, help me, I'm in trouble. And God says, he moves. He answers the prayer. And good things happen right away. And suddenly in checkpoint one, you're more obedient than ever in your life. God blesses you because you have allowed him in your house, in you. You feel the hand of God and you move accordingly. Is it possible for people to not even start at checkpoint one, being offered a chance to proceed in faith and goodness? Yeah. True believers. Yeah. People offered a chance to get out of trouble, turn it down. People offered a chance to get out of trouble, turn it down. I liken it to a man in a hole. You throw him down a yellow rope to climb out, and he looks up and says, no way, I want a red rope. I'm telling you, I've seen it. Thus, the man stays in the hole. There's the joke that you probably all heard about the helicopter saving a man. I'm sure you've all heard it. The guy was like, you know, a boat comes in the flood, and he says, hey, I'll save you, the boat guy. And he goes, no, God's going to save me. And then he goes to the second floor, the flood gets bigger, and a ship comes, and the ship says, get on, I'll save you. And the guy says, no, I'm waiting for God. God will save you. And then finally the flood comes more, and he's on the roof, and the helicopter comes and says, hey, I'll save you. And the guy says, no, I'm waiting for God. And he dies, right? He gets to heaven and says, what happened? And God says, man, I sent a boat, a ship, a helicopter. What's the matter with you, right? Oh, wow. But in the gospel, 2 Samuel 6:11 says it all. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. The point of 2 Samuel 6:11 is that God blesses the house that he's in. Use that to your discretion, the house that he's in. Corporate turnaround's a funny thing, man. Money causes problems, either with it or without. Either with it or without, money causes problems. There is perception problems, and the enemy will say to you one way or the other, as you're having a sip of a much-needed water, right, at your checkpoint one, you don't need this. There are much better watering places than this. Just skip it. Look, man, money is a tool that God gives you to live on. Not to look hip, slick, and cool, just to live on. Just to live. He gives you stuff to do with your family. Live on. That's checkpoint one. Checkpoint one, I can't believe some people don't take checkpoint one. I can't believe it, but there are people, I talk to them every day, and they're just, ain't gonna do it. I got a better idea. I was just seeing what you had, but you know, I got a better idea. Well, why were you seeing what I had if you had a better idea? Well, I don't know about that, but I guess I have a better idea, but they don't go. They stop at checkpoint one, never knowing what God had planned for them. Checkpoint one, checkpoint one, they're done. It's crazy. Well, what about checkpoint two? Well, you're kind of upping the ante a little bit for the enemy. Checkpoint two, you made it through checkpoint one, and then you walked that whole path from checkpoint one to checkpoint two. You walked it, and you learned the lessons that God was teaching you on the way. You're acquiring assets from the knowledge and wisdom of God. Yeah, baby. Then you arrive at checkpoint two, and you're tired, and you're thirsty, but you're doing better. So what happens at checkpoint two? You say to yourself, I've been rescued. I'm out of trouble. And then you start listening to the sellers of the bad ideas, the representatives of the darkness, right? And you start telling yourself, God's telling me to do it my way. Then I'll swear by that. Right back to old thinking. You got a few bucks in your pocket. You've learned a few things. You're feeling pretty good, but you still believe in God. But you'll tell all who listen that God told me to do whatever it is I'm doing. He did not. You don't want to do what's right. You don't want to do what you're being told. You don't want to stay the course. You got a few bucks in your pocket and you want to say stupid things. I prayed about it and I'm totally sure the Holy Spirit is directing me to do this thing I want to do. hey man, at this point, nobody can tell me anything. If I'm at this point, which I hope I never get to be this point, I pray I never do. I hope you pray for me. I pray for you. At this point, nobody can tell me anything. Einstein couldn't get through. Neither could Moses himself. I mean, you'll still go to heaven. Don't get me wrong. You're a believer. Jesus will ask you on the Bema seat what you've done with your redemption, but you'll still go to heaven. Maybe he'll never tell you what you missed because he loves you, but I think by then you'll probably already know. Again, you've made it through checkpoint two and gotten some money in your pocket, walked the desert path through all the difficulties and God's teachings for you, and now you stop for a little drink at checkpoint two and the enemy's sorcery talks you out of it. Why do I buy it? Why would I buy it? Why would you buy it? Because the devil is tricky. The devil is tricky and appeals to your sense of fleshly desire to want your will to be done, for people to look at you and say, he's a powerful dude. Even if you have to pretend that it's really God's will, you want to take that option. You feel that God wants that for you because it feels good. Well, it's not. And the fear of having money, it's the same as not having money. Money becomes the false god, the pretense of everything. It's just there to buy the stuff that you need. But here at checkpoint two, you either fear of having more money or not having enough money or losing the money that you had, or you're in the ebb and flow of business and you're afraid, and suddenly, not by faith with a capital F, but by treachery, the devil just says to you, I got a better idea. You won't have to worry about this anymore. Fear of having or not having, it's a test. It's a shame when people get this far and then slip back to old thinking. But for all given, there must be accountability to be given more. God says it. But some people, they just blow it. They've been given so much, and they're like, oh, this is it. I'm afraid I won't get any more. I'm afraid I'll lose what I have. I better listen to this guy that's in the dark corners here. Psalm 107:17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. You just listen to the wrong voice. The voice of what? Treason, not reason. Checkpoint two. Well, but you still believe in God, so you got that going for you. You're still going to go to heaven. You just missed out on the destiny that he had planned for you before time itself. Well, few people survive checkpoint two. The winner's circle doesn't have very many people in it. It's a narrow road, as they say. Like Moses, they never see the promised land here on earth. I'm sure Moses was bummed about that. You did notice, though, that Moses did see it later on the mountain in a glorified body. That's a whole other story, right? For those non-believers, or for believers that slip back into old thinking, God love them. They chase their tails the rest of their life, having an attitude against anything. You've seen it so many times in church anywhere. Believers that got a bad attitude, just anything good, they got some of, well, it ain't right. I tell you, I didn't sign up for that. But if you're going to get stuck, checkpoint two, in comparison to checkpoint three, would be a better place to get stuck for sure. Because if you make it through checkpoint two, oh, wow. Now what do you got? Checkpoint three. Checkpoint three. So what are you coming out of checkpoint two with if you win? You have shown me many troubles and distresses, will revive me again, and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort. That's if you make it through checkpoint two. Oh, yeah, baby. You have shown me many troubles and distresses, will revive me again. Well, if you make it through checkpoint two, you don't buy the bill of goods that I got a better idea than God. If you make it through, you are a threat to the enemy. Okay, cool. You arrive at checkpoint two. Checkpoint three. Yay, I've done it. I've arrived at checkpoint. I've survived one and two. I'm awesome. Here, a cup of water is served in a golden pitcher. Here it comes. Don't be fooled. The devil's got to get you, true believer. The devil's got to get you. Because at this point, you're doing really well. Things have taken a turn for the best. The Lord has blessed you with plenty of knowledge and wisdom to bring you along the path. Why, you might even bring a few non-believers to Jesus. The devil doesn't want that. So, you're looking too good. Hopeless people find strength in your testimony. The devil's got to stop you. Here it comes. Here it comes. Can you feel it? Here it comes. From the shadows, the devil's merchants appear. I'm feeling strength. And in the intoxication of strength, I forget how I got here and who got me here. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about me. People start to notice me, the wrong people, and they like me. And I like it that they like me and my newfound success. Oh, the deception is even more intoxicating than checkpoint 2. Oh, yeah. Checkpoint 3 is the ultimate test and the most dangerous. Because it's for believers. Non-believers never got here. Like it says in Scripture, it's okay. It'd be better if you just never did know about it, right? It'd be better if you didn't know about it. But you here at checkpoint 3, you know about God. You either pick God or you don't. At checkpoint 3, people are rich and powerful, and I want that. I don't want to talk about Scripture or prayer anymore. It's not cool with this group. The world is happy to have me back, and it feels good. Oh, yeah, it feels good. Power will become my everything, a false god. I lose myself into the black forest where hope of God in heaven is replaced in the hope of important on earth. Say it again, brothers and sisters. I lose myself into the black forest where hope of God in heaven is replaced in the hope of important on earth. This scripture's tough, kids. Hebrews 6:4-6, for it is impossible to bring back the repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. Ho! Whoa! If you fail at checkpoint 3, it would have been better if you weren't even a believer. Well, I can't say that. I can just tell you it doesn't look good. But a believer walking on the path of God will be tested, and you will be brought to a place where you have to pick. Each time one walks these checkpoints, one becomes stronger, but so does the devil. The traveler is made stronger or broken here. Each time one walks these checkpoints, one becomes stronger. But so does the devil. A traveler is made stronger or broken here. Those who fail checkpoint 2 and checkpoint 3, I rarely see the results. But when I do, when I get the call from back there, it's very upsetting to me. The failed applicant is now filled with disappointment, discontent, loss, sickness, whatever it is, it's all bad. Well, what are you saying, Pat, that if you just don't do it this way, then... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You do it without God as a believer, you ain't going to have a good time. Because the devil wants you down and out with nothing more than a memory of being special without being special anymore. Luke 16:26. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us. What am I saying? I'm saying when people fail at checkpoint 1 and checkpoint 2, they can't get across. Fiduciary duty is lost. Important has ceased to exist. A very harsh reality to those who were offered so much. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are rich and good. Exactly what somebody needs. It's not often what you want. But you find out that what you need is what you want. But the strong only prevail over self, only in the help of God. But I got to tell you, man, when people cancel out at checkpoint 1, 2, or 3, when they cancel out. The window's closed, man, for that opportunity. It's closed. I mean, like I'll say later, God, we still hope he makes lemonade out of lemons, right? We pray. You know, we pray for those people, but it's sad. Oh, well, what about those who pass the test, Pat? Mr. Glum and Gloomy. Well, if you pass all three, the third becomes the most prestigious. Oh, yeah, it's big time. You pass through three, it becomes the most prestigious. Onward and upward, a traveler goes out of the desert and onto the beach of what I call the coast. The beach, the coast of the Sea of Opportunity, close to the Lord and his destiny for you. 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I walk through these checkpoints periodically. Periodically, I walk through these. And each time, riddled, blistered, bruised, and broken, they make me better. A sinner, a liar, cheat, and a thief wrapped in the arms of God, his mercy over me as I am learning, relearning, aligning, realigning, knowing I am better only in the knowledge, wisdom, and grace of the one true God, not one that I've invented or anybody else invented, the one that is speaking through the word and answering prayer. I pray to him that I never stumble when tested, and if I do, that he catch me before I fall. I pray the same for you. God's destiny requires fortitude. Preparation is necessary, thus what I call chapter 49. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The world looks pretty good in comparison to the life of a holy man of God. I want to say that. The world looks pretty good. Non-believers, the world. The world looks pretty good when you compare it to the life of a holy man of God. I've worked with many non-believers. They're hip, slick, and cool, man. Looks good. Motivated by cash, power, important. Sometimes they got a lot. Sometimes they got nothing. Sometimes they got a lot, then nothing, then a lot, then nothing. It's a manic life. When the world's in good order, like it ain't right now, it's just another shenanigan in the name of glory. Glory, like Indiana Jones says, glory. But it ain't glory in today's world. Today's world, non-believers are afraid. The market is in trouble and it can be seized by the government at any moment. All kinds of conspiracy theories are coming up. Non-believers got nothing to hang their hat on except whatever's being said today, but true believers cling to Jesus. So it ain't like the 80s, where everybody looked so hip, slick, and cool, right? And the non-believers looked like they were oh so boring. Right now, everybody's afraid. True believers cling to Jesus. In that prayer and the word sustain all of us, if we stay consistent. But God is clear, especially in 49. You guys get it, right? You guys get it that you have faith, capital F, and the whole world's got nothing except whatever anybody's being said or lied to on the news or whatever we see on TV or whatever. We don't know what to believe. Well, believers know what to believe. And God is clear, especially in 49. There's no in between. It's either God in the book or it ain't. In prophecy, we see the warning. But see, as a believer, you're aware of that, especially if you're in the book every day. Matthew 25:31, the sheep and the goats. It's a tough one, but it's a cool one. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on this glorious throne. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is what he says to the nations. You don't want what those sellers are offering at checkpoint 1, 2, and 3. You see, the checkpoints are about options, tests. Your option, you pick. That's the challenge, with God or without God. Your will or His will, nothing in the middle. Three checkpoints, the power of Him or the power of the world. You choose, I choose. Revelation 3, what He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. Yeah, dig that. How many times have you been through the test? Each time the enemy's deception, more powerful than the last. As I said, non-believers need not apply. The riches in God are far greater than anything non-believers can imagine. For the believer who has been given so much responsibility, for the believer, you will be rewarded. It probably ain't what you think it's going to be. It's going to be something better. But you might not think that along the way, but you got to stay the course, man. Matthew 13, 11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Ouch. Did you feel that? Did that slice through you like it did me? Matthew 13, 11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Oh, yeah. Scripture's brutal in chapter 49. Especially for a failure at checkpoint 3, where you decide it's all you. You go to the church of you, the church of me, right? This is wisdom's answer to those who have lost their honor to self and arrogance and the deception of darkness. Proverbs, this is awful. Proverbs 1:27, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Oh, that is awful. That is the speak of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. When you turn away from wisdom, kids, if you're a true believer, stay the course. Well, you are, all of you on the phone, true believers. Checkpoint 1, checkpoint 2, checkpoint 3, it's there for you. So James 4, 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, Mr. Doom and Gloom, what happens if you pass the test? Can we get there? Yeah. Yeah. What if we walk through all the checkpoints? What if we make it through? Oh, that's good news. That's good news. In this analogy I put together for you, you find your ship. Your name on it, man, on the beach of the Sea of Opportunity, and you sail out. Yeah, a ship on the beach with your name on it. You sail out, and here the gatekeeper waits for you, from the hands of the ordinary into the hands of the extraordinary. John 10, 3, 4. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Oh, yeah, brother, you passed the test. Follow the Lord and embrace your destiny. When God has forsaken you on the path, or at least that's what you think, when God has forsaken you on the path, or at least that's what you think, at least that's what you think, you might consider the following thought. The teacher is generally very quiet during a test. First time I heard that, blew my mind, right? When you think God has forsaken you, or at least that's what you think, consider the following thought. The teacher is generally very quiet during a test. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It ain't about balance sheets all the time. It ain't about debt all the time. It ain't about rich all the time. It's about you and God. Godspeed, good luck. It is a good day to fight. Amen, amen. John, let's get back to work.